listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to all and sundry, including Ahoy. You, Haim, and you, Jack.
Ahoy.
Big day today. I did keep that email you sent to me during the show last week.
I was wondering if you did that.
Yeah.
An intra-show email.
You said, this is for next week. It's from Amelia.
Yeah.
And she said in her email she was wasting time at work, not wanting to start that the day, planning a trip back to Oz. So yep. She's living abroad. And she said, tried attaching a recording.
Yeah.
F a nightmare. Cheers.
She used echoing the sentiment that I'm sure a lot of our international listeners feel, where they want to tell us what they're doing.
Well, they don't.
We have made it. You almost need an NSA course in hacking to figure out how.
Well, she managed to do it
through the laborious task of attaching files, select folder. Was it desktop? No, documents.
You never listened to the.
I didn't listen to the audio. Well, again, very difficult to listen.
This is what Amelia was up to last week.
Preferred it on WhatsApp. Yeah.
Ahoy, boys. This is Amelia, Aussie expat living in DC. This morning, I'm just catching up on my Hamish and Andy episodes. I'm up to episode 61. Just listened to the guy talking about the hummus drop. Going to throw a little bit of shade there and say that was one of the longest lead-ins I think I've heard for a while, as amusing as it was.
Sure.
The rest of the day, I'll be planning for my long trip back home, heading back to Brisbane to renew my visa. And just deliberating as to whether I'm going to hire a Nissan Micra or a Toyota Corolla. Appreciate any thoughts on that. Cheers.
So much to unpack. She pivoted from a real bit of valuable feedback. We do get excited with incredible drops. I think half the fun of the segment is the long lead-in, but we take your feedback on board.
Yes, referring to the guy that dropped the hummus, landed on its lid and shut itself back up, which is pretty
impressive. That's amazing.
Yeah. Nissan Micra or Toyota Corolla, Ham, if she comes back and she needs a rental car.
And again, not sponsored.
Yep.
This is just one man's opinion. Mm. I think the traditional consensus would be the Corolla is considered. Hang on. Finish my judgment, mate. You don't know which way I'm going. The Corolla's considered the more reliable. I remember when I was buying a secondhand car, Corollas were much higher resale. I know that doesn't matter for a rental, but they're reliable. Having said that, I think Micra in this day and age signals that you're having a bit more fun.
Hey, what do you think, Jack?
I remember a stat that the Corolla is the most stolen car in the country.
Right. So it also just might be the most popular.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But why take the risk?
I think also Corolla drivers and Camry drivers, here's a big call, have inherited what Volvo drivers used to be.
Yes, I think
that
vibe.
So you do. I think you could be unfairly tarred with that brush.
Right.
Get a Micra.
You're a Micra man?
I think I am a Micra man.
Just based on the stealing and
based on safety, Micra.
Yeah, Micra. I was vibing Micra as well. Just to me,
that's the first time we've had a 3 Micra vote on the show.
I don't know. I think its fun name suggests more creature comforts. I'm not sure if that's true.
It does seem to me, and this is based on nothing, that you might have more mod cons in the Micra because Camrys and Corollas, that family have reliability. A to B, they have stitched up.
Yep.
If you just want A to B,
okay.
I think we've been clear on the choice. But if you do want the chance of more fun from three guys who haven't been in an Nissan Micra for a long time, nor looked at one.
Or a Corolla.
Nor have anything to base it on off the branding and the ad.
Yeah.
I remember Micras having a bit more fun. A bit more zest.
Thank goodness our sponsor for this week isn't a vehicle.
He did recently have Holden. I'm just worried.
If that was an option, we would have absolutely gone during that period of time.
The Acadia. Can we just pivot from saying this isn't sponsored into then doing an old sponsor?
No. Yeah. I said it. We would have said it at that period of time and you just...
What have I done?
Don't worry.
I can't have broken any rules. It's podcasting.
Haim, one rule we did break.
Motherfuckers. Now, beep that, Jack. Keep the E off the episode. Save the real swearing. Save the swearing for a later show. Give it a beep.
Yep.
All right. Level heads. Calm the heads.
thinking of speaking of breaking the rules, mm-hmm. we did break the rules when we tried to do our own lottery. We turned it into a notary, which is definitely not a lottery for the government still
enough.
Listening.
Can't stress it enough.
This happened a while back. For those who missed it, there was a phrase that pays. People had to all pledge mm-hmm. a dollar to yeah. the winner. And out of those pledgings, we'd ring one of them, and if they could say the phrase that pays, upon picking up, they would win
yeah.
all the pledges, and that would realise into some real money. This is how it went down.
Keep your dicks cold and your rods hot.
Unbelievable! Trinette, you're the pledgeant!
You're the pledgeant! You've won the notary!
You're the destination for the pledges, Trinette.
Trinette, just now, you have won 11,500 promises.
Pledges. Promises.
Promises. No money. You've won no promises. Money. We must stress yeah. that to the
you
government.
You know that. You, you know that.
Does it feel like a lottery at all to
not
you?
Not really, wouldn't it?
No. No!
No! No. No.
So we said we'd check back in with her in September.
Yep.
It clicked over to September to see how many of those pledges came through with the goods.
This is amazing. She won promises, so yep. a guaranteed amount of zero, yep. but a potential amount of $11,500, depending on what people chose to do with their promise.
Trinette joins us now. Trinette, ahoy.
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy, Trinette. This is really exciting, and yet another reason this definitely isn't, for many legal reasons and ethical ones and just vibe ones, yeah. is not a lottery.
Not a lottery.
Normally with a lottery, right. as the people, if we were to be administering a lottery, we would know the amount.
Yes.
And we would be telling yes. the winner the amount. Now, that is not the case here, Your Honour. It is a situation where we have a very happy person on the phone, it sounds like,
yeah.
who's going to tell us the amount of how many people followed through with their pledge and deposited $1 into a specific... Do we have a specific PayPal account set up?
Trinette had to set up
her... Trinette, you set up your own PayPal account, so this was...
Yeah,
like, no details were being shared. There's, like, anonymously had to donate the money in. Do we want to hear it, Andrew?
Yeah, I do. I'm pretty excited. Trinette, let us know how many of the pledges came through with the goods.
So I've got in my PayPal account at the moment a little over $4,000.
Oh, wow! Oh, that's amazing!
Amazing!
Yep. So, I mean, a lot of people came through with their promises.
That is massive.
I need to give a shout out to the people who chipped in a little bit extra to cover the slackers who weren't going to pay. There was quite a few of those.
Mate,
well
that
done.
Is crazy.
Trinette,
yeah.
that's fantastic. Normally in a lottery and stuff, you say, what are you going to do with money? This is not a lottery. I'm not going to ask that question.
No.
But
normally in a lottery, you know, they go, oh, by the way, there's 11% fees and charges. Now, of course, for us, it's a little closer to 30, but it doesn't. Trinette, it is all yours, and really, only people we have to thank, and I'm sure you feel this way too, Trinette, is the listeners of this show, Ando.
Brilliant.
The community that we have at the Hamish and Andy show.
Yep.
They are all our friends. Yep. This is just a friendly...
Yeah, it was a friendly...
This was just a friendly
game
thing
of happenstance.
This is just a friendly... Another one of those friendly incidents where friends will piff someone a dollar with no need for return. It's just a friendly piffing of dollars around. But Trinette, it makes us smile because, geez, we got the best... The best bunch of friends that listen to this podcast.
It's wonderful.
Now, I assume some people might be still getting there. What's your plan here, Trinette? Are you just going to keep an eye on it for till the end of the year?
There's a couple of dollars still trickling in each day. So, you know, people are taking their time to get around to the email. But, you know, I appreciate every notification that I get.
Amazing.
And, the plan is actually in a nod to the hot rod.
Yep.
My husband and I have a 1974 Mini. It's just slightly smaller than a hot rod, but the engine blew up, so we're planning on replacing the engine.
Oh my god! It's turned into a hot rod after all.
Kumbaya, my lord.
It's the circle of life. This is incredible.
Trinette, fantastic news.
We wish you. Yeah. May you keep that rod hot.
Yeah,
but certainly not overheating.
Keep your beers cold as well. Thanks for joining us. Cheers.
No dramas at all. Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
All right, Ando.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to broach a topic here. I know it's going to make you look like you lost touch with the common man, but I've also lost touch, so we're in the same boat. You were in Ibiza a few weekends ago.
Yes.
I'm going to Now, that's a crazy coincidence.
Yes.
You were there with your beautiful girlfriend, having a wonderful time.
Mm.
I had booked a boys' trip about a year ago. We're actually doing mostly bike riding in Spain, Spanish mountains, French mountains. Then, but you're so close to Ibiza.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't board a plane with stiff legs.
No.
So you have to just nip over to Ibiza.
Loosen your legs.
Go, you loosen your legs up. Get in the salt water. And it actually is the closest spot for the salt water. So I am going to be in Ibiza for one, you know.
A lot of the advertising for holiday spots in Ibiza, you would have seen it. Just like loosen your legs.
Come loosen your legs. Don't jump on the plane with stiff quads.
Yeah.
If you're flying out of Barcelona,
loosen your legs.
Come have a dip. Loosen your legs in Ibiza. Go home and be a better husband and father when you get home with loose legs.
Yeah.
Loose lips sink ships. Loose legs destroy lives. It's not a rhyme, but that's how serious it is. You know, sorry, stiff legs destroy. Loose legs lighten lives.
Lighten lives.
Stiff legs destroy lives. Anyway, got to go there. Have to go with the guys.
Yes.
With a bunch of us for a bit of a joint. Now, when you, there's a few people involved in the group that have got kids. There's like, this is a, it's the lining up of a lot. These we're only going for like a week, but for the whole trip. But because a lot of leave passes are involved, you know, it's a boys' trip.
Yep.
You get very excited about trying to maximize every second. Yep. Especially going to Ibiza. You know, I've never been before. Obviously, all I really know is like off the
James Blunt lives really, there.
So interesting, you bring that up.
Yeah.
You went right now. The part of traveling is to milk hookups.
Yeah,
you didn't milk Blunt.
No.
For a hookup. No, now, I'm surprised at this because you're not bad at a milk.
Just be clear, I've never milked Blunt.
For anything. But I would have thought the first thing you'd milk Blunt for was a hookup.
Yeah.
Now, you're a good networker. Yeah. We know people. Yeah. You know, you're a friendly guy. I was like, why didn't Andy milk Blunt for a hookup?
Yeah.
I mean, it's primed, right?
Yeah.
I'll
save it for you.
Thank you. Well, here's my plan. Now, I leave in a few days.
Mm.
But, yeah, let's say about a week. What do you think my chances are?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be interested in both of your thoughts on what's the best play here to milk Blunt for a hooker.
Oh, yeah, great.
Like, he was on Australia's Got Talent because he did his time in Australia, didn't he? James Blunt, and he does still have a place in the Ibiza, I checked.
Okay,
he lives there.
Yeah, he lives there. Yeah.
So he absolutely bloody loves it. It'd be great to, we want a house invite or like a pool party type situation.
That'd be nice.
With only one day on the ground, it's super tight to turn around. Who did he host Got Talent with?
Oh, God, mate.
Danny?
Probably. Danny Minogue, probably.
Yeah.
Was it Got Talent? Was it X Factor?
Was it X Factor, was it?
I don't know.
Jack, you're Googling something. I hope it's to do with this, or have you got bored? Jack's gone. This looks like this would drag on for a while.
It looks like X Factor.
Yeah, okay.
X Factor.
Who with?
Hey, Jacko? Guy Sebastian would have been on with him. And we know Guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Guy's far more accessible.
Guy Sebastian. I think it would have been Guy Sebastian, Danny Minogue, James Blunt.
One other. Ronan Keating?
Probably.
Not probably.
Yeah. No, they wouldn't have had two Brits. I reckon Blunt would have subbed.
Blunt would have been the international.
He would have been in or out.
Do you reckon three Australians, one international?
Yeah.
You reckon they did alternating seasons?
Chris Isaac was one of the judges. I'm just trying to skim an article.
Yeah.
We have had Chris Isaac on the show. Are you still skimming?
I'm still skimming.
I stopped because I thought there was more coming.
Yeah.
So Ronan's in there, but I think he's just... It's referencing Ronan in a different way. I'm not sure if he's a judge that year.
He says with Chris Isaacs in, thank God that Ronan Keating's out.
Okay, Ronan Keating was 2010 to 2014.
Yep.
Sorry, Jack, to come over the top of
that. That's all right. I think
Natalie Imbruglia was in their hand, 2010.
Do you reckon she'd have Blunt's
number? Sanderlands, just 2010. Sebastian, he's our main man, 2010 to 2012, 2015 to 2016. So he came back.
When was Blunt?
Blunt was 2015
with Sebastian,
Isaac, and Minogue.
Powerful lineup.
Yep.
I think Sebastian's our key.
Agreed.
Here's, let's call a spade here. Mm. This is a low probability operation, but we want to throw everything at it.
Yes.
I've made up something. Mm. What do you think the chances are? Because remember when when us three guys are bonded by a real experience here, to use another example, this was unsuccessful, but years and years ago, I think it was 2008 or whatever, we had Hillary Clinton on the show.
Yep.
She made an offhand remark. Hmm. Next time you're in America, come over for a barbecue.
Yeah.
We were able to capture that. We took it seriously. when the three of us were in America doing gap year from New York.
We lobbied hard.
We lobbied hard. We even sent Jack up to around Hillary's neighborhood to pester her. He did a great job. He organized a plane to fly over because we were just waiting for that invite, that barbecue invite, because she hadn't followed up on it.
Yep.
We did a big sausage waft where we cooked.
We cooked 500 hundreds of sausages next to her house.
Upwind.
Wondering whether, and then and used fans, wondering whether the waft of sausages will remind her of her promise to us.
See if those guys are in town. Unbelievably, even the sausage waft didn't work. But we knew that if she made contact and we could get an audience with her, playing her the audio, she'd have no choice but to invite us over and we would have been able to have lunch at Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton's house.
Yes.
That didn't eventuate. But the key piece of that was we knew that if we could play her the audio...
To her face.
To her face, she would be checkmated.
Yes.
Do you think we can do a similar thing with James Blunt?
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got here one of the interviews. He's come on our show a number of times back when we did the radio show. This is at the end of one of the interviews. This is the wrap-up of one of the times we had him on the show.
Yeah.
This is what I want to corner him with if we get Guy Sebastian to give us his number to go, well, guess what? I am coming to Ibiza with some mates. Love to take you up on the offer.
Okay, great.
Congratulations on your performance at Logies. Well, we enjoyed it, bud.
Thank you so much, and good luck with the crowd surfing.
And visit me anytime in Ibiza.
Thank you very much, buddy.
Two tips, we really appreciate it.
Same to Andy.
Okay. So you picked it.
I also suspected well before we... before I heard it that was going to happen.
You picked it?
Only because you do think you've got a good James Blunt voice.
I was singing only, so it was a bit trickier to do him street Blunt.
I think we get away with it on a
because I think if we played it down the phone, we'd be like, you said line. This, and we just jump in at the end and go, you said it, he's coming.
Down the line, for sure. Let's have another listen.
Congratulations on your performance at Logies. Well, we enjoyed it, bud.
Thank you so much, and good luck with the crowd surfing.
And visit me anytime in Ibiza.
Thank you very much, buddy. Two tips, we really appreciate it.
Yeah. That way,
down the phone?
Down the phone, yeah.
Because what I essentially want to, because make no mistake, I don't think.
Get us Blunt for next week.
I
actually gives the thumbs up. she does it every time.
She knows what we get. Now, Sam, get us the biggest chocolate biscuit in the world, will you? No worries. Do you have to do that? No, I don't remember. I've down the phone.
He'd fall for it. Absolutely. That's why. So we get Sebastian. We'll get James. Go back to the biscuit. We'll get James Blunt.
Yeah.
Let's get Sebastian.
We need Sebastian first, and then, so next week on the show, this will be time, I'll leave after next week's show.
Next week on the show, we get James Blunt to, you know, we'll hold him to that comment he just made.
Yeah. He knows what he did. Maybe he doesn't know what he did.
Hey, one thing I forgot to tell you about my holiday recently. Yeah. Beck and I were across and we went to Spain.
Gorgeous.
And we went to the Sagrada Familia.
Ah, yes.
Gaudi's amazing church that...
He's good.
...that they started back in the day, like early 1900s.
It was a long time ago, wasn't it?
And they haven't managed to finish it yet.
Over 100 years building?
Well, yeah. It's now over 100 years building and they're still trying to build it, right?
Hell of a church, though. I mean, I went probably about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was looking great then. Can only imagine now with all the developments we've had in the last 15 years. I imagine infinity pools, vertical gardens have got big. Is there a vertical garden on it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just chucking or whatever it's cool at the time. They've got an OLED curved TV.
So you go there. It's huge. You have to buy tickets well in advance, and then you get a certain amount of time that you're allowed have to rock up, and you're only going to be in there for that amount of time.
Oh God! So they're strict on you with the time frame. They're not strict on the old building.
Yeah, I know. And then I got the audio tour. So you get given like what looks like a phone, and you listen to it, and you hear a guy that sounds. I got the actual audio. You hear a guy sounding a bit like this all the way around.
From 1915, Gaudi devoted himself almost exclusively to his masterpiece, the Sagrada Familia, a synthesis of his architectural evolution. After completion of the crypt and the apse, the rest of the church is conceived in an organic style, awaiting completion from others.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I do love, it goes from 1915, he dedicated almost all his time.
Yeah.
So he's still doing side gigs.
Well, the thing was,
still did a church, still did like a theatre or something.
Well, hearing that, dedicated almost all his time, right? Hearing that he waited it for completion from others, just reminded me of my good friend Jack over here with his house.
And like, another modern masterpiece.
And as I went,
that did drag on.
Yeah. And as I went through listening to it, I kept imagining in my head subbing out Gowdy's name for Jack Post's name and kept getting the giggles through this whole thing. And so I thought I'd create it for you now.
From 1915, Jack Post devoted himself almost exclusively to his masterpiece, his Coburg House, a synthesis of his architectural evolution. After completion of the kitchen and the living room, the rest of the house is conceived in an organic style, awaiting completion from others.
True.
He intended for the project to be finished in his lifetime, but sadly the completion date will occur nearly 100 years after his death.
What, his two bedrooms?
Jack's Coburg house was a basic
plan, with a five-aisle
bedroom,
a transept
kitchen, and a small music room where he pays to store Hamish's drums. Jack
used highly symbolic content in the
Coburg house,
both in architecture and sculpture, dedicating each part of the
house to his wife, who he tricked into living there.
During Jack Post's life, only the living room and kitchen were completed, leaving many architects to take up his work. Completion is not expected until at least 2026.
Also, it's inside, though.
Yeah, two more Olympics.
Hey, it's time to do this. This is exciting. Obviously, we are having a black tie chicken festival.
We are having a black tie chicken festival. If you heard last week's show, and we really recommend you go back and listen to it. If you haven't, something needed to be done in the world of one-off chicken shops.
Yep.
They're a really central part of a lot of people's lives. Mm. And if you find a good one, it can become an almost religious experience, we've discovered. No one's recognizing these stores. There is no governing body for one-off chicken shops.
Am I right in saying rotisserie more than fried?
Sure. That seems to be, I mean, for people that understand and appreciate a great chicken, a lot of the time it's rotisserie on charcoal. How do you do it? Do you do it with charcoal? Do you smoke it with a bit of wood?
Yeah.
Is it a heater? A lot of the time it's the rub, the rub and the oil we're getting.
They're the stores that are coming to mind for me. And then when people say, oh, I've got this hot fried chicken place, I'm like, nah, that's too contemporary.
It's delicious.
It's delicious.
But I don't think it's an art form.
No.
You can have good and bad fried chicken. Mm. Of course you can.
Yep.
Don't get us wrong. But it's not an art form the way a roast chicken shop is. A charcoal chicken shop.
Yeah.
I mean, are you frying it on charcoal?
So, hey, we're putting up awards.
Yeah.
We would like people to nominate their favourite single store.
The one-off chicken shops.
Chicken shop.
I'd say it's snowballed a bit since last week. Mm. Now this thing has really, it's hotter than you'd assume the fat they're using to fry the chips. Because people, we're getting flooded with entrants. Mm. I realise now, accidentally put our hand up to host quite a large event. Bordering, there's tinges of fire festival amongst the office with people yelling things like, we'll need toilets, and like, what about drinks? So it's got that real feel that we're kind of fire festivaling it, maybe a little bit. Hopefully charcoal festival is better than the fire festival.
Totally. I mean, it became real.
The best
real
thing is we're not on an island. We're looking at venues that are close by to.
Well, we're outsourcing the whole thing.
But worst comes to worst, it's still going to be in civilization if there's a
we get
problem, there'll be a supermarket nearby for water.
We get a say and look and feel, and in fact, a very strong say, but Hamish isn't in charge of whether you're going to have, you know, sanitary place to
you will
the food.
Be able to eat and wee as much as you want, and that is something that the Fire Festival couldn't deliver.
Yeah.
Here's one thing. At the moment, the rough shape of it looks like this. We're going to get representatives from Australia's, we thought 10, top 10 chicken shops to come to the festival.
Yep.
And we'll provide the kitchen facility, but like a pop-up festival event.
Yep. A pop-up shop, even though it'll probably be the same size as their regular shop.
It'll be cleaner. It'll probably be cleaner. You get to make your chickens that night. Let's talk produce. We haven't talked to any chicken shop owners at this stage, so I know we're probably making a lot of assumptions that could be wrong.
That's a great
vibe is we source the best available raw chickens for everyone to cook with, like a good organic whatever, you know, that's going to have to be a locally sourced chicken. You can't travel with your own chickens.
No,
no one's boarding a plane. If they come down from Queensland or something, no one's getting on a plane with 10 or 500 chickens.
25 kilos plus carry-on, and I don't think you'll get enough.
And you can't, you know, sending your chickens first and all that sort of stuff. So you won't have to travel with your chickens. I think that we make that clear.
But travel with your secret ingredients.
Oh, you've got to travel with your spices.
Because what?
Your knives, if there's a special knife you use for your chips, your spices, your rubs, your gravies.
Is we supply all food and they put an order in. But I'd suspect that some stores
I worry about the potato.
Would be very nervous giving away their ingredients.
I worry about the potato. I reckon some people would use a bulk bought. It's possible they'd use a bulk bought chip.
But they just have to specify to us what they need.
That's what I'm saying. But I want everyone to play with the same chickens. You can't go, oh, I'm a Steggles man, I'm a Larnaca. No, you know what? You're all a Mar Wilson's organic today.
But my point is we're asking everyone for their ingredients because we'll get it for them.
We will.
But some people may be reluctant to give away their secret recipes.
Oh, you've got to travel with a little bundle of your spices and stuff. That's 100%. That's travelable.
Yes.
The chips is interesting because some people might want raw potatoes.
And we'll
others
find
will want
out.
Chips.
We'll find that out and we'll accordingly.
We agree to bespoke their potato requirements.
We'll do as best we can to recreate their stores. But what we should say is we decided during the week they will not be judged on their pop-up store.
No. You'll be judged before then. There'll be winners already.
So
is a celebration.
The market, the black tie formal chicken night market will be a celebration.
What's the Oscars? It's the Oscars. You don't go, oh, quick, Leo, get up and do the scene from The Revenant. You've done it. You've done it. We saw it.
Exactly.
And we've judged it.
And now,
and I can't tell you now, but you are going to win.
We'll sample it when we show the noms noms on the night.
But still come to the awards, Leo. And you know what? Do a little bit of it, but we won't judge you on that bit. It's exactly that.
It's exactly
at the Oscars.
Right. Hey, question for you. Mm-hmm. Chicken salt seems to be...
Yep.
A defining difference between a good store and a bad store. It's like people go, you've got to try this chicken salt. You've got to try that chicken salt. There's a store called Chicken Salt.
Got my attention. I would go to that shop because it's what we want.
In Sydney, and it says here from Steve, who's nominated them, said the proof is in the pudding, or chicken salt as it is. It's the perfect corner stop. Corners are often great for these type of, so these are the finest chicken salt in the country.
Wow.
Family-owned business. Again, that's why I think people want to be traveling with their
salt. Travel with that salt. We cannot provide that. I've tried to buy chicken salt at the supermarket and it's like...
No, it's not it.
Mate, forget it. So I try and make McDonald's at home.
Yeah,
forget about it.
Exactly.
Just forget about it.
How do we feel... Another one came
I've got, something coming in a lot, Ando, for, again, people are pleading with us to break the no chains rule. And we specified... There's one contender that comes up a lot,
okay.
And I don't think it's an organised campaign. We discussed that on last week's. Yep. We smell those out a mile away, and you're disqualified. This is not an organised campaign. I think this is people speaking from the heart. This comes in from Liam, and I've had a similar thing from a few people. You might have had some on your side of the fence. Super Rooster in Toowoomba.
Yes, I've had Super Rooster come up.
He said, listen, I know, guys. I heard the show. I know you have said no chains. And yes, technically they have three locations, but that is only because people demanded greater access to their chicken and more specifically their chips and gravy. The owner is so hung up on quality of their product, he refuses to franchise.
Yeah.
So he said, I've opened up more stores, but I'm not franchising.
Yep.
He remains in control of them, which I think is important.
Yep.
Even though he definitely could franchise.
Yes.
Literally, the golden goose is there, but he doesn't want it. In fact, his unwillingness to franchise led to a rift between him and one of his chefs. The other chef started his own chicken shop with the exact same recipe and menu. This led to the Toowoomba chicken shop wars of the early 2000s.
Wow.
Which is a real thing. I looked it up. Anyway, it's such an institution that when they got FPOS, it made the paper. Okay, so you've got a real... outcry here for Super Rooster going, we're not a chain. We're just so popular that people needed our chips and gravy.
Should we ring?
I mean, honestly, what is the difference between a store that has three counters in under one roof or three stores with one counter? We're splitting feathers, but it is interesting question.
To me, it's about management.
Yeah.
If
under the one owner?
If he's residing over all three, if he's visited all
three... If he's cock of the roost.
If he's visiting all three stores every week,
yep.
I think that's not a franchise.
I agree.
So maybe we have to. So maybe we need found to call
the
him. One.
I think we need to find. Does it say his name? No. We need to find the grand rooster from Super Rooster.
Big bird.
The big bird. The big cock. And talk to the big cock and go, look, you know, can you tell us?
Absolutely. Hand on heart.
Hand on your juicy tender breast.
Yep. Yeah.
Is this just
Sarah,
you?
Can you get us the.
Thumbs up. Sarah, get us the big cock from Super Rooster, would you?
Well, that's good, Ham. Well, then here's another one I wanted to bring up again. We're not going to name any nominations. I just want to clarify rules through mentioning nominations. Julian Coogan.
Yeah.
Bomoris Charcoal Chicken, so one from Victoria here. He said, unsure when the year's operational, but, you know, before primary school times.
Yeah, it's funny because we have that on the form. We have years operational, and it is a weird thing. Like, I've got my local chicken shop. I wouldn't know when it started.
I know, but
you'd have to go in and ask.
The reason why I suppose it should be a tick box, has it been started in the last 5 years? Because we want more stayers than that.
Yeah.
We want more approval.
It's certainly not the last 5 weeks, too. We don't want someone to have heard of this and opened a chicken shop just so they could jump in on awards season.
The chicken is amazing, but the secret homemade stuffing is its best.
Yep.
How do we feel about stuffing?
Oh, that's definitely part of it. Jack? Yeah.
Jack, well, I don't eat the stuffing, actually.
You struck me as a guy that
fancy
would.
For your taste.
You struck...
Jack
I
regards yum cha as fancy.
I love stuffing.
I do like stuffing.
What's stuffing made of?
Breadcrumbs, spices.
Yeah. Some people, raisins in it, don't like that.
I do for a turkey. These are the moments when I go, this is all it is on MasterChef. You just keep doing this. Boom, you've got 11 seasons.
They're looking for new hosts.
Yeah, we're not bad. This is not bad. I mean, this is MasterChef quality. I don't love raisins. I do want a turkey. All right, do you like a fresh cranberry? I don't mind it processed. Interesting.
And then Jack, the third judge,
I don't
just
like,
going.
I'm very picky.
A little rich for my taste. I prefer I'll do bread for this one.
The winner on Vegemite on toast.
It's a very fluffy toast.
Okay, great. So stuffing table dance.
I think
so
it's part of it. It can't be everything, but it's only part of the dance.
Great. Next week we shall...
Quick question.
Yeah.
Will we accept an international nomination?
Wow, where from?
Rory Oliver. No, Manchester, England.
It's going to cost us a lot.
It's going to cost us. I'd like to nominate Chicken King. I believe it's the only chicken shop in the world that can claim to have helped win multiple Olympic gold medals. Mm. The shop's located in the same area of Manchester as many of the great British cycling teams. And during the London Olympics, they were known for many late night visits to the chicken shop as a cheat meal. They were using it as a cheat meal, the athletes.
Wow.
To load up. Jack, you'd be familiar with the high calorie needs of an athlete.
Yeah. I would say,
although
we're not going to have.
I now understand. You know, Jack's.
I had to cut back on the calories a little bit.
You know how Jack a few months ago were like to bulk up. Jack was given unlimited calories by his trainer. His trainer this week, said, "Can you? I think it's time we take the foot off the gas."
Really, eating a bit of extra pudding where you didn't want it.
Got to say, under 2,900 calories.
Yeah, so just pumping the brakes a bit on unlimited calories, which is fair enough. You can't eat unlimited calories forever.
No.
I mean, that was Eric Banner.
And it's timely because my peanut butter sponsor ran out as well.
You got to wonder if they're working in unison. Anyway, so I'm just saying, so the
my answer's no. They're not. We can't fly them out. They've had their day in the sun with the Olympics. Well done.
That's what I thought too, actually. Lest we forget some of the Australian cyclists that missed out on gold because of this very chicken shop. Finally, a chance at revenge. No, correct answer, Ando.
And we will, let's just sort out a bit more what the festival will look like next week.
I know we're not going through nominations, but I do have one I want to give a quick mention
quickly.
To. Just because I want people to know we're reading these, even though there's like dozens we can't get to every show. From Toby. Yes, Chicken Chef, the second nomination for Chicken Chef in Blair Atoll. It's been going for 40 years. He said, just their chips. I mean, I've heard a bit about their chips. He said, I regularly drive over 40 minutes for a quarter chicken and a jumbo bag of chips. Side note, I once attempted to eat an entire jumbo jet bag of chips in one sitting, only to fall short by half a bag. That's how big this bag of chips is, and I pride myself on my chip-eating ability.
It's a big bag.
That's a jumbo bag. I want to see that bag of chips. Tobes, send us a pic.
Hey, last week on the show, Revelation. I mean, this guy over here on the other side of the desk.
Love finding out more about Jack's family life.
We thought Jack...
giving his mum bread vouchers from Baker's Delight.
Which I said I regret, and I apologise for.
You apologise in song, and that's what gave us the idea for what's about to happen now. We thought that was probably
the lowest point of gift giving in Jack's career.
Maybe the roughest point in terms of like child reciprocation to the parents that lovingly raised him. Make no mistake, John and Jill, just A1 parents.
Yeah.
So we were talking last week going, well, Father's Day is coming up, Jacko. You are the father to a dog, but you also have your own father. Mm-hmm. What will you be getting John? And Jack revealed to us, I'll be getting him sweet FA.
Never ever got
a deal. That's the deal I made with Dad.
And Jack sent me a photo of his dad in a suit the other day and said, hey, Andy, this is the suit you gave me. It didn't fit me. And it's my
That's true.
It was Jack's dad.
It's his go-to suit.
So you know
so
about
I've given more gifts to Jack's dad.
So you know about giving things. You know about the concept, but just not about for Father's Day.
But that's why Jack, he's seen the error in his ways and he's agreed to write a song.
Even my 2-year-old made me some handprints that are upside down that said, "You're hands down the best dad." Oh, so good. She's doing gear, but we thought you'd be able to turn it around with the song today for
my
your
dad.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear before this starts, is this you assuming that this pays all back taxes on Father's Day?
Well, this is definitely the most effort I've gone to give my dad something.
Yeah. That's nice.
This is a song about the impression that I get from my dad about what he wants for Father's Day.
Okay.
Gifts.
Huh.
The smart money at this stage would be being put on the fact that Jack was under the impression that
he didn't want anything.
He didn't want anything at all. And it's kind of John's fault for not giving the right impression.
Dad, you say that you don't want much for Father's Day or for Christmas, but I have a need to express my love through a purchase of round 50 bucks. He said, son, don't get me anything. I swear to God, I'm not bluffing. This world's not about material possessions. I'd actually be offended if you got me a present. My dad's like Gandhi. He's a bald-headed man who does not want for anything. And who am I to deny him from his minimalistic life, where for possessions he does not strive? Yeah, Dad, here's your favorite thing. I got you nothing. Other dads want Bunnings vouchers and socks and jocks, but I've never seen you happier than when you're opening an empty box. And though it breaks my heart, 'cause I'm a natural giver, I'll reluctantly deliver your favorite thing. I got you nothing again. Yeah, Dad, it's your favourite thing. I got you nothing again.
Oh, so sweet.
That's right, Jacko.
Yeah, your dad is a very chilled guy, isn't he?
Yes.
Would you say that?
Yeah.
Super chilled.
Yeah.
Would you say that nothing upsets him?
Nothing upsets him.
Well, that's a shame. That's what you just got him. Oh, we've got you with the reverse. We've got you with the reverse logic.
Did you're not following, but nothing upsets him. It's Hamish and play of words.
That's right. You got him nothing and nothing upsets him.
I didn't get that. Sorry, it went over my head.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, it was the song, so.
Well done. I think that does actually
pay back. That counts as something. Nothing is something.
Balances the ledger for me and my dad.
Well, how old are you
now? Not for us to say.
31.
31. 31 Father's Days. You would have assumed at school you got him some of the generic stuff, Major and Co stuff, that sort of stuff. So really, you only owe him about 20.
Yeah. That includes birthdays and Christmases, though, as well as.
You don't get him any birthdays?
No.
No, there was no gifts.
There was no gifts.
There was no gifts at all. There wasn't a Father's Day. I didn't give my dad Father's Day.
Just a blanket.
Something.
No, I didn't give Dad Father's Day anything. Gave him a text, didn't get one back.
Haim, we've said it before, we've said it again. We love people filling out the very important podcast, the form, hamishnetty.com.
No other show will exhibit your skills and your special abilities like we will.
Exactly.
We're keen to champion them, but you must step forth to be selected. You must be brave.
Two people have come forth, one from Maroombula, the other from Brisbane Ham, and you know we're on a budget here, and we tend to only fly people in when you and I both go, that's right, let's get this guy in to see how they go.
Well, these two guys,
Luke and Oliver.
Having made it this far, they should be proud that they're involved in one of these interstate clashes. usually there is only one winner. Mm. We did talk last week about upgrading the experience, especially, you know, for something like Brizzy to Melbourne.
Yep.
It will invariably be sort of a 4 a.m. wake up. It's a horrible day.
Yep.
We are giving people a horrible day when we do this to them.
Yes. Well, particularly if you've got a connecting Marimbula, I don't know what the deal is. But
it's probably a Rex. it's probably a regional. Probably actually faster to fly Brisbane to Melbourne on a jumbo or on a jet than a Rex flight Marimbula. And they probably don't do the, you know, I wouldn't say it's like a, you know, Brisbane-Sydney of a morning flights every 15 minutes.
No.
I think it would be more a... One a day.
One at Rex,
from Marimb.
But let's not.
We're getting ahead of ourselves thinking of logistics too early. But I'm just saying, would we include accommodation in this, or is it still TBC?
TBC. depends how much you want to see it.
That's true.
You can also say you don't want either.
Okay, come on.
Let's starting with Luke, though. Ahoy, Luke.
Ahoy. How are you, boys? Going all right?
Yeah, great,
Luke. All good energy. How are you, Luke?
Thanks for getting thanks for filling out the form. Let Hamish in on what your special skill is.
Well, someone else filled it out for me, but I can definitely vouch for them. They said that I can see a square meter basically with my eye pretty well done. So I'm a tiler by trade.
Yep.
I generally come into a bathroom, look at a bathroom and go, yep, 32 meters done, and then basically measure it up about 31 meters. So I'm pretty tight, give or take. Couple of meters either side.
A couple of meters?
So square meters.
Square meters. So
he's square meters.
So he's saying he can go into a space.
Well, that example you gave there, let's say 32, but it turns out to be 31. So we're looking at like 3% margin of error, pretty close to that. So would you say within a 3% margin of error?
Oh, sometimes. Not always, but yeah.
He hasn't come out confidently. Usually
with superpowers, it's got to be,
he's a humble hero.
He's humble, but there's got to be an element.
I understand that. Yeah. I understand that. I'm a bit of a wizard with a lot of things in the trade. Like, I'm pretty good with my eyes with a level. People do call me Laser Eye Luke.
Okay. if we set up some sort of decathlon or a heptathlon that involved judging things by eye. Okay, so there's less exacting standards on each event, but it's your overall average score for Laser Eye Luke.
I'd pick a few things out of Jack's house, I reckon, but...
Luke, fantastic.
That might be round one. It's not too tricky. The top of the chimney shouldn't be slanting like that, should it? I'll be honest with you. Okay, Luke, thank you for that. That was good. I'm glad you involved that. I'm glad you included that extra addition at the end.
Yeah. Oliver, what's your special skill? Oliver, ahoy to you.
Ahoy.
Ahoy, Ol.
Happy birthday.
How are you, mate? Ollie, what's your special skill?
I believe it's the car one. So basically, I noticed it was a special skill when I was riding around with my mates on night shift. Hmm. I sort of hopped in the car a bit tired and we took off and I wasn't looking at the road and I heard him whack the indicator on. And I've looked forward and just said, oh, it's actually a right here. And he's like, oh. He said, how do you know it? I had it on the left indicator. And I went, oh, I just know that. That's just something I know.
He can hear the difference between a left and right indicator. Hear the difference.
Basically, like baby driver, I imagine, just a bit more bored looking.
Yeah. Right, so you're just so in tune with a car that
just felt it in the air, basically.
It communicates to you on a level that normal humans don't understand.
Uh-huh. Don't need to see the driver do any manoeuvres. I reckon I could do it blindfold.
Blindfolded.
How many out of 10 could you get?
Well, I guess it wouldn't be a special skill if I didn't get 10. But pretty confident I could get 10.
Wow, 10 from 10 just hearing the indicator.
Hearing the indicator.
And is there any make or model of car you prefer, or you do it on anything?
No. Look, I think the European have the stick on the left side and American on the right. Not particularly worried about that. I don't think there's a difference between tick-tocks and tock-ticks going left versus right. However, I'm pretty sure that all cars are pretty similar with the noise. So.
Yeah. Great. Well,
it's probably not a Tesla. I don't think
he wouldn't want a Tesla.
Any people untouched, lost touch with the common man, not prepared to sort of step in.
No worries. We can make sure we can provide you with a non-Tesla vehicle. Still, some of the petrol fleet of cars that are flying around.
Let's put them both on hold. And hey, what are you vibing?
Gee, they're both good. Luke was losing me for a bit, and then he brought in Laser Eye Luke.
Yeah.
So, I mean, branding works.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch every episode of Gruen to know that.
Yeah.
Branding is a powerful tool. The idea of the five events or something, some sort of pentathlon appeals to me because we could have, okay, that's square, mm-hmm. that's this many metres.
Yep.
Till then, I was not impressed. Yep. I was vaguely impressed, but he wasn't backing himself.
Yeah.
10 out of 10, Oliver says, though.
Yeah.
TikToks and toxics. What's the budge like at the moment?
You were both coming down.
Both great skills. You know, I'm pretty... I think let's not give anyone any accommodation.
Okay.
And the money we save, we spend on the flights for the other guy.
Okay. Guys, you're both coming.
Just think that we need to see both of these things.
We will get us... Let's do Oliver first.
Yep.
Because we know what is. We're going to blindfold him and put him in a car.
Yep.
Let's get back to Luke and in a future episode,
yep.
propose to him...
The
pentathlon we want to do. Yep. And if he agrees, yes, we'll book his flight as well.
And Luke, just quickly give us a couple more examples of where your laser eyes have shown great skill and amazed passes.
What about heights?
We'll put it this way. My builder calls me into the bathroom and he goes, oh, what do you think about this floor? And I said, well, looking from here, it's about 15 mil out down there. If you raise it by 10, he'll be nice and level. And he comes back in my other room and goes, wow, how good is that? And I said, yeah, I can't believe it.
Yeah,
even Oliver.
even Oliver's there.
Take Oliver. You've got Oliver in the car. He's blindfolded. He knows how to get home just by judging by the accelerations and the TikToks and TikToks.
All right, great. We'll come back to you, Luke. Oliver, yeah. We'll see you soon. And thanks,
great,
mate.
Great role play you did there too. You took Australia and the world really into one of your sights.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.